You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
See, with opiates, you have to have, it's a physical addiction. It makes you sick when you don't use it. They're so smart in the way they do it. And now that when you test it, they change the molecule because it's man-made, some of it coming from China. They've changed the molecule, so probation and places like that, when you test, it doesn't come up dirty. Meanwhile, the guy in front of you can't even talk.
No.
I have the special tests. I had to go to France to get them to test because I had people in my program, they couldn't even talk or walk, and they're telling me they're not using. We drug test them, 13 different drug tests, and they're coming up clean. I said, oh, no, something's not right here, and I found the test at work. And once I told them I could get them into a program, I would send them to a detox or Lawnwood, and they would triage them and get them better. But they're not going to get honest because they're getting away with it.
What does triage mean?
The triage, like when you go to the hospital. There's a triage nurse. She tells you, you're sick, go here. But there's triage for drug addiction as well in the emergency room.
Now, I don't know what triage means. Well, an advocate?
Yeah, an advocate in the hospital, a nurse. When you come into the hospital, there might be four or five people. This guy has a bloody hand. This guy has a heart attack. This guy has a foot injury. The triage nurse is the one that puts who goes first inside the emergency room. She's the advocate. She's the representation of the emergency room, for lack of a better
term. Let me ask you this. First of all, I really appreciate everything you're doing on behalf of I can't imagine what it would be like to be a lost soul and come out of prison and have a guy like you who says, hey, you may not even know you're drowning, but you're drowning and you're going to die. And this guy, Pastor Al Pagosi, did I say it right? Pagosi?
Yes, sir.
Throws me a rope. You must have had an agenda. I mean, something you were thinking about when you were coming up today to be in my studio. Thank you for driving all the way up to 95 Royal Palm Point, our studio in Vero Beach, Florida. Of course, I'm away right now up in Vermont, so I'm phoning in via Zoom. But there must have been some things that you had in your mind that you wanted to discuss, and I can't ask you questions about that if I don't know what you wanted to talk about. So I just want to hand you the microphone and say, what was your intent today? Because now another thing I do want to say is also stories. People's stories change lives. So if you have any stories too, you don't have to give away names. You can say there was this guy, he was, 44, he'd been a bank robber, blah, blah, whatever.
Well, there's plenty of stories. There's one story in 2005, we started going into the chapel teaching Celebrate Recovery, and people would come up to the altar and we would lay hands. I grew up to Assembly of God Church, so Pentecostal's my background. So we would pray over these guys, and you don't even know who these guys are. You just pray over them. They're crying, they're sweating, they're snotting. They don't even know what's going on. They come out of their cell and they go back. And one guy was facing 47 years. So I would meet him in the chapel. We have an office where I would go in and I'd do a one-on-one. I would tell him things like, don't worry, you're not going to prison. The guy found his girlfriend hanging in a closet. He was trying to kill himself. He was so addicted. He lost his son. He didn't even care. Through SIDS, the baby died. And this guy, I would tell him, don't worry about it. You're not going to go. Don't worry about it. Just go up to the judge and tell him that you're ready. You want to change your life. So one day I'm in Celebrate Recovery, and I get a tap on my shoulder, and I turn around, and it's this guy. I said, looking at him, I said, who are you? He told me his name. He told me what he's going through. And he just got out of Faith Farm. All of a sudden, and this guy, this guy hasn't left my side 17 years now. He's been my associate pastor. He runs a multi-million dollar business that he was just a guy that used to push a lawnmower and a weed whacker. Now he has 17 tractor trailers. He sells sod. He has all kinds of businesses, that mulch businesses. This is a guy that built our chapel for us on Avenue D. He's my associate pastor. He was supposed to be here before, and he's a real example for the community. He gives back more than he probably makes. I don't even know. He lost his daughter on February 6th, a couple of years ago, in a wrong way accident. She was murdered in a car. The guy drove up on Route 60. This poor girl, it was a terrible story, his daughter and a friend. So this guy, after all of this happened, never picked up a drink or a drug again. He seeks the Lord Jesus Christ. He became a pastor, and he stays by me, stays by my side, and he's like, you know, powerful, powerful example of what the Lord Jesus Christ can do. And his name is Stuart Fakita, just so you know.
Like, I don't know if I've met him.
He was supposed to be here today, but he's very busy. He's trying to run the business.
I tell you what, I'm tickled you've been here. This has been the right moment. I'm glad you were here today. It's really smooth. You can just tell the Lord was in this. And so maybe we'll have him on another time. God willing, there'll be plenty of time to do that. But I'm so excited about what you're doing here. Snatching people out of the fire, so to speak, as Paul, the Apostle Paul would say, right?
Yeah, what happened is Diamond Liddy gave me a van one time. It was a gold van. Yeah, she said, because I was helping her in the dorm in the jail. Before they built Delta and the rehab dorm in the jail, I would do it on Tuesday nights, or Tuesday in the day. I would do like a reentry program for her. I would help her. Other girls were helping her. So we would help. And then she wound up giving me a van. She says, I got someone donating a van. I would go out, and while I was working 17 hours, I would go out, get some bread. I was working at Roma Bakery. I would buy the bread, a dozen rolls or two dozen rolls. I'd buy a thing of bologna. I'd slice it with a knife. I'd put it in a sandwich. I'd wrap it up, and I'd go to all the drug spots during the day with a cooler full of water on Avenue D, on 11th Street, Orange Avenue Apartments. I would go into the numbers. I would go into the letter places, Avenue EF. I would go meet people on 10th Street Park, tell them all about Jesus. There's a better way. Here's a sandwich. Here's a glass of water. That's how it all started. I would just go out and try to meet people where they're at.
I have to tell you, and I think I represent other people. I'd like to think I do. I have a fear of poverty. Now, I've gone down to Fort Pierce. I used to go there with John Jetson and what was his name? Peter Bush. And Thanksgiving, right, we feed people. And, you know, when people come up, you wonder if you're making any kind of a difference. I mean, you're dealing with all these guys and you're making them bologna sandwiches and showing love. But you got to know that the majority of people that you're bumping into are probably going to die of overdoses or whatever.
And they could have killed me. They could have stabbed me and took the van. Yeah. I don't care. But you know what? I have to do what the Lord called me to do. I can't think like that. I have to just go out there and trust. And by faith, that's the way it works. You know, I was a bold guy in New York. I was bold. The Lord kept my boldness to use in his favor. That's he uses people like us to be out. Well, I'm a white Italian from Brooklyn in the predominantly 90 to 99% black area. What am I doing there? I'm there because the Lord sent me there. And if you can't recognize that, you're not going to get the help I'm trying to give you.
Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee, though no one pursue, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The wicked flee, though no one pursue.
Right.
Righteous are bold as a lion.
That's right. And I go by those words. I go by exactly by that. You know, faith without works is dead. What good is my faith if I'm not using the works? I have to get out there. I have to help. I got to be part of the solution. I can't complain about this stuff. Amen. I got to be part of the solution. Amen.
So tell us another story, a miraculous story of somebody who was addicted and they came out of prison and you helped them.
Well, there's so many of them. I got a guy right now that lives with us 4 or 5 years. He was at the Red Roof Inn. He made a phone call. This guy worked for an agency here in Fort Pierce for 18 years. He made a mistake. He got lonely. He got drunk. He got on the phone. He thought he was talking to a lady. He was talking to an undercover police officer. He doesn't have a victim. He never touched anybody. And the next thing you know, he gets arrested. He's got five. He does 5 years in prison. Guy didn't even got a speeding ticket. Did 5 years in federal prison, and he's got life parole. He calls me up. He says, "Well, I'm looking for a place." I said, "Okay, get ready. Are you ready?" He said, "Well, I'm gonna." I said, "Well, you better be ready because I'm coming in 15 minutes to pick you up." So we pick him up, and now he's living with us. He's my driver. He's my administrative assistant. He's been with me almost, I guess, close to 6 years now. He's just got a relationship back with his daughter, his ex-wife. He's got a granddaughter. He's not able to see her, but he's able to talk to her on the phone. And he's, he's like a right-hand man. He works with us.
What can you possibly do though if you don't? If there's no victim, and it was only on the phone with somebody, what could he possibly have done to get 5 years and to be on parole?
He did some stuff. I don't know. I don't exactly know the crime. I never read his affidavit, but he had to do something on the internet, maybe show his body parts, maybe something like that. It wasn't children. He wasn't involved with children and pornographic children material. He's a labeled sex offender. I have another guy that's in my program. He's 21 years old. He went to jail when he was 17 because he had sex with his girlfriend who was 16. The mother found out. He got arrested, and he's been in prison until he was 21. I just took him out.
I'm sorry, but that's not right because I got to tell you something. What about the Romeo law? I mean, you know, boys, he was only 17. He wasn't even an adult yet himself. Right. That's not right.
Right, but he went to prison. He didn't have the right proper representation or whatever the case may be. I don't know the past. I only know what I see when they call and I meet them. They tell me these things, and I'm not going to go and reference it. It is what it is. You're in front of me. Learn how to put on. You put his shirt on backwards the other day in the meeting. I said, what are you doing? Well, I don't care. I'm an idiot anyway. Really? Go inside, put your shirt on right, and tomorrow make sure you shave yourself when you come in front of me. You got to teach these people discipline. They hate themselves. They've been told they're no good. You're a sex offender. You're a chomo. You're no good. Look at you. A lot of these people made some seriously bad mistakes under the influence. And a lot of them are bad people. I don't know. But it's not for me to judge. Who am I to judge? I don't want to be judged. Those who judge will be judged. I don't want, you know what I mean? I'm forgiven. The blood has washed me clean.
Well, I mean, yeah, I remember when the reason I'm talking about Mike Tyson, I interviewed him a number of years ago, but he was a broken man. And then I just watched this documentary recently and I didn't realize, I mean, like nobody ever invested a positive word to him. He learned how to fight to survive. It was just ugliness upon ugliness until one man, this older fat guy, Cuss, whatever his name is.
Cuss D'Amato.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
To the Lord with joy, to the rock of our salvation. Let us sing unto the Lord with joy, to the rock of our salvation. Let us sing unto the Lord with joy, to the rock of our salvation. Come into his presence with praise, singing and shouting proclaim that Adonai is a great God. Come into his presence with praise, singing shouting, proclaim that Adonai is a king. Hey, Adonai is a king. Lechun erenin el Adonai, nadi aletzo yishenu. 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 Nechamat banam betora, izmirot Maria lo, ki el gadol Adonai. Nechamat banam betora, izmirot Maria lo, ki el gadol Adonai.